I don't try, because when you try, it's really you telling yourself, I'm going to let myself off the hook if this doesn't go the way I want to, and say, well, I did my best. I tried my best. No, 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 no. Either you, it's like very Yoda. Either you do or you don't, right? There's no in between.
Has it been your dream to become an engineer, to switch from the job that you're working right now, be taken seriously, get a full-time salary, and be coding? Then go to hackreactor.com, the trusted resource to become a credible engineer. That's hackreactor.com/scholarships if you want to check out more on how to become an engineer at no cost at all. Remember to enter in the code Women in Tech. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to patreon.com/womenintech. That's patreon.com/womenintech to make a small contribution to keep this podcast going. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. Oh my God, I have one of my favorite women in tech in the Santa Monica studio with me. You guys are going to die. She has such an amazing journey going from discovering the world of tech to becoming one of the key hosts and entertainers and tech influencers. And let me just bring her to you right now, Liza.
Hi, everyone. What is up? My name's Liza Monet Morales, otherwise known as XOXO Liza with two Z's, please. And thank you so much, Esprit, for such a wonderful introduction. So yeah, so as Esprit said, I actually am an actor, a TV host, and a content creator in both English and Spanish. But one of the things that I love to do is travel the world and share that through the power of live streaming with my global community, which is Lovebug Nation, and really leveraging the power of tech in order to connect the world and break down stereotypes.
So let's take it back because, okay, first of all, let's list off all the things that you are. I mean, you've been a host on Access TV.
Hollywood. So I was the correspondent, one of their youngest correspondents that they had. And then I anchored Access Hollywood in Espanol. So I've done stuff for the Latin Grammys. I've been the backstage host for that. I've hosted for Vanity Fair TV. I've done stuff for Extra, Celebrity Justice. I had a show on VH1. I mean, so it really, depending on the day. So I always say that the world is my runway.
Say it again.
Yeah. So the world is my runway, my stage, or my soapbox, depending on the day. So some days it really is me covering, let's say, fashion or partnering up. I'm one of the 8 global fashion experts for IMG, which is what the company that puts on all the major fashion shows around the world. So some days I'm really in like fashion mode, but then other days my tech little heart, which I started hacking when I was in third grade. So my tech heart is like, oh my gosh, there's a new app or there's like a new microphone or there's a new gadget that I need to try out. Okay, let's do that. And then I'll be shooting reviews or I'll create content for myself or one of my clients. And then other days, like today, I had an audition, like a callback for Warner Brothers for a show. So it's like every single day I really get to play my life as Liza. And I love sharing that with people because for me, I think it's important that when you put more love into the world, and sometimes putting more love really comes with following what you love, then you actually are reaping not only rewards for yourself, but your community around you. And I think more than ever right now with the political climate that we have, where there is so much hate coming in and so much just rhetoric that just kind of just makes people feel icky inside. We need people, which I call little love bugs, little love bug agents around the world, following their dreams, following their bliss, and specifically using tech to break down those barriers to then actually not only leave a legacy, but also leave a path for those coming behind them to pick up the, you know, the baton, if you will, and then keep running forward to connect us in a bigger way.
And your tech claim to fame is you're the most watched person on Periscope in the Latino.
I'm the highest ranked Latina on Periscope. When Vine was around, RIP, I also had gone viral on Vine. I was one of the people also ranked on Meerkat, which is before Periscope. So then I just won last Thursday Best Live Content Creator for the second year in a row at the Tekla Awards. And what's really special about the Tekla Awards is this honors the best of Latinos in social media. And last year when they gave the award, it was the first time any award show had actually honored the live streaming space and acknowledged the work that we were doing. So being a girl and being Latina to win this award was really awesome. And since then, I've been nominated now for a Streamy Award. So a bunch of things have now come up as a result. But I think the bigger gain that I'm really appreciative for is exactly what I was saying in terms of how I've been able to connect community through tech. I had the honor of being invited by the Dalai Lama to his birthday 2 years ago. And meeting him, I have to tell you, Spree, like literally when I met him, he immediately put his heart up, his hands up into a shape of a heart. And he was like, Love Bug Nation, which, as I mentioned, is the name of my community. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And he's like, Love Bug Nation. I'm like, Love Bug Nation. Right. Okay. So he's like, okay, you come, you sit. And so there I was, and we were streaming, we were periscoping his whole birthday party. And then his, like, he had a 3-day seminar series that he did with a bunch of people, everyone from like Ann Curry to Michael Franti. And so people were just talking about, again, putting more love into the world and where we were. And the reason he chose to come to the US, which I thought was interesting for his birthday, was because he felt that energetically we're really off. And I'm like, amen to that. So he's like, I really felt like you guys need to have these conversations of really finding and aligning yourself and using the technology that you have and the other resources that you have to kind of raise this game. So he came here, and the only thing he asked from the guests in terms of his birthday, because people wanted to know what, you know, he wanted for his birthday, was to do a random act of kindness for someone. And just do it just out of the heart, you know, kindness of your heart. And I thought, wow, what a really cool man. So we end up doing the whole session. And then during lunch, I'm asked to come and I sit next to him. And, we do the forehead to forehead exchange, which was one of the most powerful experiences I've been to. I was like, wow, I feel like I just was reborn. What's just going on here? And he's talking and he says, you know, they tell me, and he has a big sense of humor. And he's like, he has this really infectious laugh. He's like, they tell me you had 13,000 people watching on your phone live. And I'm like, oh yeah, they were watching you. And he's like, no. They were watching me because of you. And he's like, what I need you to understand is, since, you know, the 60s and 70s, I've been traveling the world, and people, when they have to come listen to me, they have to save money in order to buy a plane ticket. They have to take time off of work. Sometimes they have to endanger themselves because people don't want them to come hear the Dalai Lama speak. And you, through the power of your phone, we had only 7,000 tickets available at this space and we sold out, but you were able to give the gift to 15,000 more people to see this. And he's like, that's power. That's being the love agent. And that's doing what the Dalai does, but even better. He's like, you can be new Dalai Lama. I'm like, okay, we can kick back with that. But that, I was like, is he really saying this? And that's really when it hit me that the work that we do isn't just sending a silly tweet that people think, or isn't just posting, hey, here's what I'm having for breakfast, but it really can transform lives. And that's what I've seen. I mean, and that's a very big example, but I have smaller examples as well. Like even just parents telling me, thank you so much because you've allowed me to have a conversation about bullying with my child because you scoped about that and you talked about that and made it cool for me to have this discussion. So I'm really grateful that I'm at a place where technology is able to help me do what I want to do, which is to connect stories with others, find out people's stories, but then, you know, just break down the stereotypes that people have, assumptions about all cultures everywhere.
No, it's so true. Even on this show, I'm not sure if I showed you, like just a week ago, I received this email from this entrepreneur, this female founder in Lisbon, who said, Lisbon, Portugal, she said, thank you so much for letting me be on the show. Because I was on the show, Silicon Valley investors reached out to me. They would have never heard about me otherwise.
Yes!
And like what you do from a geographical perspective is just amazing, and keep on doing it.
That literally gave me truth bumps. As
like,
I told
this
you,
this is why I love podcasting. Yep. Because it's like we get to stand in this room, but yet we impact so many people's lives in a positive way. And I just feel just completely blessed to have the opportunity to be able to serve.
Exactly.
I know it sounds so cheesy, but
no,
yeah.
Spree, it doesn't. That's actually, you know, what people say. They're like, wow, you cover so many things, and you do tech and you do cars and you do beauty, but then you'll do like nonprofit. And they're like, why are you doing so many things? You should just do one. And I'm like, no, because none of us are just one dimensional. We have so many aspects of things that we're interested in, but when we can be of service and we can connect people, oh my gosh, the possibilities are, you know, endless. And that's what I love. And I have to just take some time to shout you out for like what you're doing to create exactly what this woman said, a space for women to not only come together and celebrate, but do it in a way that's very public. Because as women, we are taught to not express ourselves very vocally, especially when it comes to something like tech, where that's predominantly a male, you know, industry, male-led type of business. So to be able to have a space where not only can we talk about it, but we really can be like, hey, this is now how the next person can do it. I love it. It's like a secret club. But we're like, all right, this is the code word. You have to be a female. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that that's actually really cute.
No, I love that you use the word celebrate, because that's exactly what I aspire to do with everything related to both We Are LA Tech, which you guys know I do a lot of work with the LA startup ecosystem, and Women in Tech, is I just want to celebrate and collaborate. Like, I want to create an atmosphere for celebration and collaboration and connectivity. And I just think the more that we work together to move forward, the more we'll all move forward faster. And yeah, I think there's enough space for everyone to win.
I completely agree. So there's this awesome quote that my grandmother used to always tell me. So there's two. But one, she used to always say, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Oh, I love that.
One of the great things is that by us all going together and pushing each other to really, you know, show up in the biggest way, it's exactly what you said. It raises the bar for the industry as a whole, which is great for all of us. And when it comes to, you know, everyone having their piece of the pie, another thing defaulting to my grandmother that she would remind me, she said, you know, don't get caught up in fighting for your piece of the pie. At the end of the day, you're Latin, you're a girl, you could turn around and make your own pie. You don't need to have the pie that all the guys are having. Let them have that pie that someone else made for them. You turn around, you make your own pie, and then you invite people to come have that pie with you. And I'm like, yes, she's so right. And so, like, that's the focus. I have a book that's coming out later this year that's called Classy Chingona. And so it really celebrates women who can step up into their own light without apology. And I've specifically, even though, I'm American born and raised, and I love it, we've been here for six generations, but one of the things that I really appreciate within my life, Latino culture, is women are the backbone of so many businesses, and they have such great ideas, even when it comes to tech. But there's this word in Spanish that we use called pena, which is I'm ashamed, or I don't feel comfortable with something because, again, I'm taught to be small because I'm female. So this book, kind of like what Girl Boss did and what Sofia Amoroso so brilliantly did for women entrepreneurs, is I want to empower Latina women entrepreneurs to really go full blown and know how to make the most of their day, how to give back, but then also how to be positive in their own lives so that they're showing up without apology to really be everything that they're supposed to be in this world.
And you brought up Sofia Amoroso, who's someone that I really look up to as well. Let's talk about her just for a second. For those of you who don't know, she founded a clothing line called Nasty Gal, which actually has now been acquired kind of because it went through bankruptcy. Yeah. And it's this crazy thing because it created, for those of you that know, it was this like tremendously successful brand with a huge fan following, so that it like pretty much like didn't make it, was this kind of shock, except I didn't see it that way. When I heard that Nasty Gal went bankrupt, I felt, wow, if Nasty Gal went bankrupt, failure doesn't exist, because Sofia Amoroso to me is so far from a failure.
Yeah.
And I feel like potentially, I don't know the whole politics, obviously, but I feel potentially she wasn't in alignment with what her company had become, and she went on to pursue something that was in alignment with her passion, which is Girl Boss, which still exists, and she's coming out with this awesome next Netflix show. And so it was an interesting day for me, because I'm just like, oh, failure doesn't exist. Try everything, give it your all, and just take it, follow your path, essentially.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is instead of the word try, I put a lot of people on a word diet. That's one of the many things that I do, because it's exactly that, where sometimes in our own vocabulary, we limit ourselves before we get started. And so I really stress specifically, and I love that Sofia is such a great example of this. It's all about the doing, right? It's just walking that walk. So I really, with my close girlfriends and now with a lot of my viewers, and I've done this on live stream, I'm like, okay, I'm putting you guys on a word diet for 30 days. Like, really track yourself. How many times do you say the word try? Mm-hmm. How many times do you say the word lucky? How many times do you say the word can't? You know, there's several words that people say that really, at the end of the day, are limiting you before you even get started.
Completely.
And so if you can just knock out those words, and it's something so small but so impactful, if you can knock those words out of your vocabulary, what you end up getting in the results is you sit in your confidence. And it's interesting, I notice myself when I've been hanging out with certain people that say them a lot, I'll pick up that vernacular from them, and then I then have to publicly stop myself when I then say it and be like, oh, I didn't mean try. Let me reverse. And let me actually rephrase that without using that word, because otherwise I'm retraining myself to go back to that old way of thinking that my efforts aren't good enough or my attempts at doing something don't necessarily merit attention. Or so again, it's so small, but yet it's so one of the key principles of success that I stress to people when they ask me how I did it or how do I get things done in my day. It's like, well, I know what I'm going to get after and I get after it. I don't try, because when you try, it's really you telling yourself, I'm going to let myself off the hook if this doesn't go the way I want to, and say, well, I did my best. I tried my best. No. Either you, it's like very Yoda. Either you do or you don't, right? There's no in between. So she's a great example of someone that realized very quickly, then, you know what? This isn't working. I'm going to pivot in a different way. I love how gangster she was that when she started the brand, she used to steal stuff in order to sell and make money. Like, you know, like this is, you do what you do.
Like dumpster diving, not like stealing from a store.
Yeah.
You guys have to read the book Girl Boss. I read it. I even wrote a blog post of my favorite quotes from the book. Like, Girl Boss is her book, and I think it's still just as relevant today as it was last year.
Agreed.
And it just has no relation to the rise or fall of Nasty Gal other than it's a story of triumph.
Yes.
So there are these amazing female founders in Los Angeles who created a mobile app called Nail Snaps. And discovering Nail Snaps gave me a fascination with nail art. Essentially what Nail Snaps does is you could turn any image easily into quality nail. It's like, it looks like nail polish, but they're nail stickers, and they come to your door, and then you literally look like you paid like zillions of dollars to have the coolest, most epic nail art ever. Liza comes into the studio and she has these ombre nails. They're so decked out and like this glitter nail. But let's talk about the technology behind this ombre nail. What are these ombre nails like?
I love it. And I'll send you a picture. So I do Manny Mondays. So I'm obsessed with manicures and what have you. So every Monday I do Manny Mondays of showing like my latest manicure, what I do. So I do designs and stuff. And so this week I was super pumped because I was just in Israel. And when I was there, I heard about this polish that apparently changes your nail color as depending on the heat of your nails, depending on the heat that touches it. And I thought, well, that sounds really cool. So I thought nothing of it. I was like, oh, I'll have to look at that when I get back to LA. So I go to get my nails done yesterday and my mom was with me and I hadn't seen her. And she said, oh, they have the new ombre nail polish here that changes colors. I was like, shut the front door. I literally just read about this when I was in Israel. So there's about like 9 different colors you can pick. And so when I wash my hands, they all turn pink, like a very bright, Eastery pink. But then as they warm back up, they go into this like mauve lavender, which is really cool. And then they'll have like hues in between. So throughout the day, it's been really kind of fun, kind of like a mood ring.
Yeah.
Seeing my nails kind of change.
Totally.
I'm like, oh, look at how fancy. So yeah, so they have like pink, blue, like you can pick all the different undertones. I definitely think you're going to see me wearing more of these this year. Because
and where do you find them?
So it's on, if you go to your nail tech girl, you can ask her for the ombre nail polish. That's what it's called. They are rolling out now to more salons across the country.
Cool. So check that out. Check out Nail Snaps, which is like just, remember, you could turn, literally, I've made my podcast cover art into
I
want
to do my XOXO Liza glasses into Nail Snaps. So we're going to have that. And if you guys go follow me on Instagram, you'll be able to see them as well.
Totally. And you could have your brand on the nails. Like it's just crazy. So now bringing it back, because we can't like wrap up this episode without talking about where it all began.
Yes.
When did you first discover technology? And like what are the little resources and people that led to you being who you are today?
So I, as I mentioned before, I was in third grade. I started hacking. I was raised as an only child. My mom and my dad got divorced when I was fairly young. But I immediately discovered gaming and computers. And I was fascinated by the fact that you could make things run, you could make things move, and that someone actually was typing this out. So my mom used to tell me, okay, I need you to practice like typing out because I want to get your typing speed up. I'm like, okay, great. I'm like, so does that mean I get a computer? She's like, yeah. I'm like, great. So do you mind if I go to the library and I need to like rent some books and stuff? She's like, what? I was like, yeah, I want to borrow some books. So she's like, okay, let's go. And I remember going my very first time because I wanted to go to the section of how do I learn to code? And this is before STEM or STEAM was like a big thing. And they kind of laughed at me. The librarian was like, the books we have are like college texts. And here I was, like, in third grade. I was like, I don't care. Like, just give me something. So she gave me a couple of books. And so she would, I would say, Mrs. Elderson is someone that is very special in my heart, because she actually every week I would go in, and the library was like my babysitter in many ways. She would always have new books for me to check out that were about coding, but she would try to find ones that had maybe more pictures or tried simplifying them as much as possible. So then I would go home and then follow, you know, the instructions. And I remember the very first time I hacked into my mainframe for my school, I was like, Mom, I could change people's like grades. And she's like, don't do that. Don't touch it. Don't do anything. Oh my God, what are you doing? I was like, this is so rad. She's like, oh dear God. So then that's when she realized, okay, I need to get her into like a video game camp or something, because this is probably could go really bad. And so what I ended up doing after that was pitching a show. I ended up having my first talk show when I was 10, and it was called One to One with Liza. So I interviewed, I was raised here in LA, born and raised. I interviewed everything from politicians to other gamers to celebrities, really having a conversation as a kid. I wanted people to speak at me, not to me. And I felt like other kids would use that as well. So anytime I did that, I would always be voraciously looking for tips on like, so how did you learn to like, you know, get into the gaming industry? And so that actually led me to start being a tester.
Wait, and where was that show?
On public access here in LA. So I ended up becoming a tester for games for Sega, which was great. And then that led, yeah, I know. And then that led to Nintendo. And they're like, great, do you want to try out these games for us? So I would give them like feedback. So I was just fascinated by that. And from then on, I became just such an early adopter. Anytime I would see media or anytime I would see any new type of tech and that would, in a way, help me connect in ways that I saw wasn't being done, I would immediately like jump on it. And this is what I always tell my community today. Like, anytime you hear of a new app, immediately go and register your name. I'm very excited that I have XOXO Liza with doozies, please, on all things social. And people say like, well, how did you do that? I'm like, literally, you have to be that early adopter. Like, the minute something comes out, even if you plan never to use it, just save it just in case one day you like, you know, change your mind.
And this is how GoDaddy makes zillions.
Exactly.
I'm like, GoDaddy is like the dream catcher.
I mean, they really are. They're like, all right, let me just get it. But you know, on top of it though, it really makes sense, because then, you know, Instagram came out, Periscope came out, Twitter came out. It's like you go and you save your name and you're ready to go. So for me, it's a lot of experimentation and also failing forward and really knowing, okay, let me try this. Let me see how this works. I experiment constantly. I do on Periscope, I do direct my scope, where I kind of play a little choose your own adventure and I let my audience decide.
Like, I remember those books.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like you let your audience choose. Was like, which way am I going? Who am I going to talk to? So I try to bring, or not try, see, this is what happens when I hang out with certain people. I do my best at bringing my childhood fun into my live streams, because I want my audience to interact in a way that's not only real, but it's either educational, entertaining, inspiring, or informational for them to then take action in their own life to follow the things that they love as well.
That's like so perfect and so awesome. What's one thing that you've discovered about yourself in achieving your dreams?
That it is literally up to me to decide how far I can go. So that is something that we're raised to believe that it's society and that, you know, again, it's money or where you came from that maybe is going to limit yourself. But it really is you making a decision and making a choice. And you and I talked about this before off air, a failure is not an option. So what does this look like for me to get there? And when you 100%. Get to that mountain, taking that time to celebrate, because being an overachiever, it's very normal to get to this one mountain and then be like, okay, you know what? Now there's another mountain I gotta climb. Okay, now I gotta climb another mountain. Now I gotta climb another mountain. And I'm so blessed to have such an amazing mom and such amazing friends who then sometimes will be like, this is great. You've climbed a new mountain. Do me a favor and just look down and celebrate where you've come.
100%.
And so that's where then it reminds me. And I just did this on Thursdays when I won this last award. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. And it's my birthday. Let's celebrate and stuff. And I remember that day, like we went out to dinner after and I was so tired, but I was like, oh, hey, let's go. And tomorrow I'm going to get up and I have to do this interview for New Zealand. And they're like, no, you can push that back. Today you're just going to celebrate. Let's not worry about that. So just reminding yourself to A, stay in the moment, but B, being like, wow, I did this. So for all those days that I have really questioned myself and how far I could go or what I can do, it really ends up just being up to me.
Right. You brought up challenges and how asking yourself how. I mean, you guys, this is so important. There's so many times where, you know, projects that I'm working on are just like the furthest thing from easy. But I'm like, no, I'm going to win to my best ability. And what does that look like?
Yep.
And then I can't expect anything past my best. But like, let me at least give it my all and try to seek every solution possible. How do you overcome challenges?
So asking those kind of questions is first and foremost one of the things, and I think that that's something that we share in common that we've talked about, is one of the things that drives me. And then secondly, it's really allowing myself to say, this is temporary. So when an obstacle comes to me, to know if I let it destroy me, that's a choice I'm making. Right?
Totally.
So if I realize and recognize this is temporary, I'm going to take the power away from it and have some space and be like, okay, there was a setback. Let's say I got fired from a job. Okay, this must mean, and in my head, I've trained myself to think, okay, so this must mean that there's a bigger opportunity that I need to look out for. So what does that look like? What do I need to do to show up in order to fully meet that opportunity?
100%.
So every day, what I do to kind of game hack, if you will, life hack, is I have a system, and I talk about this in the book, but I have a system where I set up my day in the morning to include not only the three things that I'm grateful for, because you do have to sit in gratitude in order to create more into your life, but I also talk to myself, what are the three ships I can send out today? So I love this quote, and I remember hearing this from one of my acting coaches, where she reminded me and said, you know, Shakespeare, someone in that time, talked about the fact that safe ships and harbors do nothing. Like, the whole point of a ship is to send it out to get the pirate's booty, but it's never going to get it if you never send it out of the harbor. So that has stayed with me now in my own life, where I think, what are the three ships I could send out? So what's that email I can make? What's that cold call I can make? What's an inspired action because I saw something, or I heard a podcast, or I read a book that I was inspired by, and now I thought, oh gosh, I have an idea. Let me take immediate action now and send out that ship. It may come back, it may not, but at least I know that I showed up and I did that. So that's a, or part of it. And then two, what's the olive? I can't stand olives. It's gone to a point where I'm like allergic to olives. Like, I just don't like them. So I tell myself, what's the one olive I need to eat today? So what's that one dreaded phone call? Like, that one person I don't really want to talk to, but I know that by talking to them, it's going to be like a domino effect and knock out like 10 dominoes out of my way. What is that that I need to get done? If I do that in the morning before lunch, oh my gosh, my day is already successful. So that no matter these little smaller obstacles that may come up, I already know, you know what, Liza, you've planted those seeds, you've planted something to reap tomorrow, that what ends up happening is that the following day, I'm now 9 times out of 10, at least out of one of the ships I send out, I'm now able to actually go and harvest that and pay attention to that, so that when these smaller things come through, they are no longer this epic, oh gosh, it's a bad day, because it's like, you know what? Okay, that sucks, but you have 5 other things that are coming through that are really good.
Right.
Let's focus on that. So when you're in constant inspired action mode, which is what I like to call it, and you're working off of a success list, not a to-do list, because a to-do list, people can just get very distracted and being busy, but a success list where it's very specific, the actions that you're taking, when you're constantly moving on that and working on that every single day, the next day, the actions that come, and the day after that, and the day after that, is literally all interconnected to getting you where you want to go. And that actually ends up keeping you on track, so that the little hiccups that life might throw on you end up being not even that eventful.
100%. Dude, this has been so inspiring and so awesome. I love just what a strong leader you are. And Liza's always been the person that, like, if I feel knocked down, she's the first person to want to pick you back up. She's awesome. So definitely, where can everybody connect with you?
Yes. So please, I would love for you guys to connect on XOXO Liza with 2 Z's, please, on everything social. I'm very active, obviously, on Periscope, on Facebook Live, on Snapchat. I'm known as the Carmen San Diego of live stream, because last year I traveled just a little over 300,000 miles and the year before just a little under 300,000 miles. So every week I'm usually in a new country, sometimes 2 in a week. And I'd love being able to share and connect with you guys. So please don't be shy. Stop by there. And you can also go to my website, XOXO Liza with 2 Z's, please, .com.
And where can we find your book?
Oh, so the book will be out later this year, and it'll be hashtag Classy Chingona. So if you guys just stay alert on my social, you'll be able to get all the info when it comes out. I'm going to be actually doing a woman empowerment event, so I would love to make sure that you're there.
Yay.
So we'll have to give tickets out to any of the listeners that are in LA. So we'll be launching it with Being of Service in order to empower women to use those tools right away to get them going on their mission for the year.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. If you guys want to connect with more awesome women in tech, remember to go to womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. It takes you straight to the Facebook group, so it's not confusing, because I know there is like a million Facebook groups. So we wanted to make it super easy for you. And remember to tweet at Women in Tech Show. I always love hearing from you. This has been Esprit Devora, and I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode.
Bye.
Women in Tech is an independently funded project funded by you, the community. So the way that you could support us is by going to patreon.com/womenintech and making a small contribution. Every little bit counts. That's Patreon, patreon.com/womenintech. Thank you so much for believing in our vision. Our incredible partner, Hack Reactor, helping people become legitimate engineers, is offering an outstanding scholarship program. If you don't take advantage of this, that's just nuts. Go to hackreactor.com/scholarships and enter Women in Tech. That's hackreactor.com/scholarships and enter the code Women in Tech.